Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests.
But let's kick it off with our theme song for usually Thursday night, especially during Survivor's time of the year, and you know what it is. Everyone, tonight we're going to be talking about Survivor. If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
Welcome, Survivor fans. Thank you for being here with us tonight for our Survivor Caramone Roundtable show here on the Rad Reality Show Network, hosted by Travis Bubba Sampson from Survivor Vanuatu. Tonight is 04-04-2013. My name is Cherry Garcia, and with me tonight is Mr. Paul from Minnesota. We'll both be your co-hosts tonight. So let's check in and see how Mr. Paul from Minnesota is doing. How are you up there in Minnesota land, Paul?
Oh, I'm 04-04-04. No, I'm good. I'm a little concerned after hearing the news that CBS is taking over the Big Brother live streams over from Superpass. Did you hear that news?
They what?
Yes. Next season, BB15, the live feeds are not coming through Superpass. They're coming through CBS. Sorry. Cherry, are you okay?
The views expressed by guests and callers from the Rad Reality Show are not necessarily the views of the host or the sponsors of the Rad Reality Show and are for entertainment purposes only. Some assembly may be required and batteries are not included.
Okay. Y'all know me pretty well by now. I'm just going to put in a big old bleep. And y'all can imagine what word I'm thinking. Bleep.
I know. I have no idea what's going on. I would love to see. I don't know if people can talk about it yet, but I would love to talk with Missy, you know, because she's a friend of the show and us, and find out if she can elaborate on it or what's going on, why it happened, and all that type of thing. So that's certainly a concern and a shocker, if you will. And it's now official. The rumors also, another news, the rumors have been out there for a while, but the Vegas Bash is officially done as far as the previous hosts of it. Whether there's any new one, I don't know. But
wow.
That also is news. And then a sad news just happened today. Roger Ebert passed away.
At the age of 70. Yeah, that's very sad news. The previous news that you mentioned isn't so sad to me.
I know.
There was a lot of animosity, I guess. but we'll let that one lie. I'm in a place where I will just wish others the best and hope that they find peace in their own lives and wish them the best.
Then the other thing I think...
Now that's all I can say. I know they've hurt many people, and I was one of them, but monetarily not as bad as many others. And I hope that...
We also have, for whatever reason, Brandon Parker isn't hearing our sound, and he said, no, I'm just imagining voices. Your voice is in my head.
Aww. Paul, see if you can help him out with
that. He's been around enough.
See if you can put your instructions in the chat room and see
if
you can help him out.
I figured he'd already known. He's been here enough that I figured he'd always already know that, but I will do that, Sherry. The other thing I think is worth mentioning is the start of Temecula. It starts officially tomorrow, but I know that some of the people are already headed out that way. So that's this weekend.
Now that's an event that is all above board, all about helping charity, and an amazing charity it is. That money goes to helping women with breast cancer. It's all above board. It's done in such a wonderful way. It's all planned out. It's all organized. And it's a terrific event to be involved with. And much of it will be streamed. So if you can watch that online this weekend, I suggest that.
Sherry, I need to interrupt you there because I know SuperPass has covered it in the past. Do you know, haven't heard that they're doing it this year. So I don't think we'll see it via SuperPass. I think they are going to be videotaping, like a production company, but I thought Jillian said that they would not be doing it this year is what I recall, unfortunately.
Oh, really? They're not going to be streaming this year?
No.
Oh, how sad. That was part of the fun of, for us that couldn't make it. But hopefully they'll get video that will be put on YouTube or something.
There was some guy that tweeted something under a hashtag Reality Rally, and he tweeted, I hope to shake this bug. I've got a lot of shooting to do this weekend and at Reality Rally. And I looked at his profile on Twitter, and he's a videographer. So hopefully, they are... I'm laughing at a chat room comment. People are canceling their Super Pass, it sounds like. So, at any rate, hopefully we'll see some kind of video of this weekend. If it's not live, maybe it will be later.
Right. Well, let's bring up the host of our show. And to do that, I get to play his little tune.
Let's get it rocking.
Let's do this.
Bubba shot the jukebox last night. Said it played a sad song, it made him cry. Went to his truck and got a 45. Bubba shot the jukebox last night. Bubba shot the jukebox last night. Said it played a sad song, it made him cry. Went to his truck and got a 45. Well, he shot the jukebox. Stopped the with a one shot. Bubba shot the jukebox.
Really?
Bubba, thank you so much for being here with us tonight. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. Just helping my son here with a little bit of studying before he has to head off to bed so he can do good on his test tomorrow.
Well, that's always important. He's got to get those A's.
That's it.
are you getting, hi, Bubba, are you getting smarter in the process when you help?
Well, I'm trying to remember all that stuff is just the thing, but it refreshes you, you know. So, what y'all think about the episode yesterday?
Shocker! You know, when you see somebody say one of those lines in the show where she pointed to her wrist and said it's time for a blindside, you should take those to heart and know that something's about to happen. And it was time for a blindside. She just didn't realize it was time for her blindside.
Her blindside. Right. Yeah.
Hey, I'm glad I didn't see it ahead of time because I hate spoilers. But after I watched the episode, I then checked what they named last night's episode, and it was called Blindside. And that would have spoiled it for me because everybody else that they basically were talking about as options would not, in my opinion, been a blindside. But if I had read that, I would have figured who they were talking about, you know. So, yeah, that was kind of a disappointing show for me because I didn't want to see her leave. But we got somebody else to join the roundtable. I see there, Jerry.
Yes, let's bring him up because he actually adds so much to this conversation. Mr. Michael Doyle from Survivor Whispers, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How about you, everybody else?
Doing great, Michael. I'm glad to have you back. You really added a lot to the show last time, so I'm really excited that you're back. Thank you for coming on the show.
You guys are so, you make me blush.
What do you think about the news about Big Brother turning over the live feeds to CBS? I mean,
they only announced that bit, though. Did they announce any other changes to the format?
Not that I've heard, Michael, but my thoughts were you guys in Canada were able to subscribe to SuperPass, but now you're going to have to jump through hoops to probably see the feeds, you know, like we're doing for Canada right now.
I don't know how that's going to happen. They're going to lose a lot of business if they have to do it that way.
Yeah.
I don't think that makes sense.
So, back to Survivor, Michael, what was your feeling, your overall feeling about the episode?
Finally,
Bubba was asking us.
Oh, dude, finally the silliness has stopped. It's an actual game now. Like, I ranted and raved the first 3 or 4 episodes. I was just like, enough of the drama. I want to see the game. I want to learn the game. I want to figure out how they're playing the game. And it was like back to strategy, back to square one, and I loved it. It was an awesome episode.
You know, I agree. And one of the things I've noticed is there's not really a hardcore solid alliance. There's cracks everywhere.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, like, we were talking, yeah, we were talking about that last week, sort of interrupt you, Bubba. And we're talking, like, about Malcolm and stuff. And I think everybody in the group nailed it, like, you know, what Malcolm could do and going back and forth and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So, Jerry, did you want to start off with notes or?
Well, the start of the show reminded us that the Faves have the numbers over the fans, but the feud between Philip and Corinne was still ongoing, and that Malcolm has a plan to take over the game by solidifying a tight four-man alliance of himself, Eric, Eddie, and Reynold. Gota continues their winning streak and won another immunity challenge, but Philip wanted to take out Corinne's new BFF, Michael, and Corinne wanted to take out Philip's new BFF, Julia, showing everyone that they were battling for dominance in the tribe. In the end, Corinne won the battle, and Julia was voted out, becoming the eighth person voted out of Survivor Caramone, and 12 are left. Back at camp, Philip started telling everyone that he threw the challenge. Of course, no one was buying it. Dawn and Corinne discussed it alone, and they were saying, why doesn't he just admit that he screwed up on the challenge? And in a cameo, Corinne said, it's kind of like where you say, yeah, he's a very loyal alliance member, but he's so cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs that there's no question that Philip has to go. You know, there's just this ongoing struggle between Philip and Corinne that within that tribe, they're strong, but that ongoing battle between those two just will not die down. And it's day 20. Corinne is saying most of the fans don't have a brain. Only Michael does. Philip tells her to just keep the game kind of light around camp and don't talk too much around them. Then we see Dawn saying that she's going to get water and she wants to go alone. When she gets out there, she's crying, and she says that it's kind of funny that she cries so much. She talks about how winning $1 million could change her life, pay for her 6 kids' tuition, etc. She says the last time she played this game, she let the game go to heck, and because she just sat back. She says she let Cochran flip. She didn't tell anyone. And she said, you have to be a decision maker in this game. You can't let the game happen to you. You have to be the one that makes the decisions. Those are the people that win. So I think we'll stop right there and talk about that comment. I think she makes a valid point. The people that make decisions in this game are the ones that win. If you sit back and just let everyone around you make all the decisions and you don't participate in the game and be what we lovingly call in Big Brother a floater in the game of Survivor, oftentimes you don't make it to becoming to be a winner in the game of Survivor.
When you use the term floater, I was thinking third punch bowl type thing. Which, you know, you're the stinker. You know, that everybody wants to get out, but, you know, just kind of float through the game. You know, that concept of making the decisions, that rings real true with our season. Me and Chris Doherty, what we were doing before our merge. When we would get together, this is a little behind-the-scene information here, they follow you everywhere, but if you go off by yourself, they don't follow you because you're going to go use the rest, you know, the bathroom. But what I would do is our code was T5, means talking five. I just go up to Chris, say T5, and then I'd just take off down the beach. And then he'd wait about 5 minutes, and he'd take off down a back path. And then we would just curl back around in the grove, and we'd talk back our strategy back there off camera. A lot of people was asking, why don't you strategize more? It's like, man, I was strategizing all the time. It's just I knew how to get away from the cameras because, as I've told you in the past, cameras tell on you. You know, you got four or five cameras around and are on you. Everybody knows you're talking strategy. I didn't want nobody to know I was talking strategy.
Yeah.
So
all right. Well, what's the secret to? Well, maybe you shouldn't reveal your secret to avoiding the cameras, but can you say how you were able to do that?
Yeah. Like I said, I would go, like, say I'd take off down the beach. And Chris, because I'd say T5, I would go, and that means talking five, I'd go down the beach. Then Chris, he would head down another path.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Okay. And then what we'd end up doing is making, like, a triangle in our motions. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So that way, you know, I'd hit one way, he'd hit another, and then we'd start hitting, once we was out of sight, we'd start heading toward each other and then meet. And what we would do is we had, our strategy was, and I think this is really playing up to how Philip is staying in the game. We had Sarge and Rory was our lightning rods. They're the ones that's getting all the tension, and Rory, everybody's wanting to vote Rory out, and Sarge was wanting to get him out and stuff like that. Sarge was the lightning rod because he's had that leadership role. When you're in a leadership role, put yourself there. When things are going good, you're good. When things start going bad, well, they kind of start pointing a finger at you. So what we would do was we would kind of Sarge, what would you like to do? And we'd kind of give him, you know, like, would you like to do this? Would you like to do this? Stuff like that. And then we'd kind of steer him the way we'd want him to decide, but we would let him believe it was his idea. The one idea that he did come up with, and he stuck to his guns, was voting Brooke out first. That was his call. Me, I wanted to vote JP out first. And it was because of something personal. It had nothing to do with game. It was just personal. Strategy-wise, it was best to keep him in. But, like I said, it was personal. But then after that, we would just kind of tell Sarge, well, what about this? Make suggestions, and then he would go that way. So he felt he was making the decisions, and he was in power. But Chris and I off was saying, hey, let's do this. And the way you would do it, we found out, is if we had an idea, say we wanted to vote out JP next, me and Chris go back and we talk, who do we want to vote out next? Well, we agree JP would be the next. So then you go to Rory and you say, hey, Rory, you know, notice you and Chad are close, you're, you know, in our alliance, sharper ties, like that. Do you think you could kind of convince Chris, or, excuse me, Chad, to maybe vote out JP? Well, Chris would go to Chad, hey, Chad, what about JP? So they would think they were convincing each other, but it let them feel they had a sense of power, a sense of, you know, talking the other one into, and that they were in with the decision-making and making the plans fall out. Nobody just wants to follow a plan. Somebody wants to help the plan along if it's not theirs. But once we got that and we would come to Sarge, hey, we thought this. You know, we talked to Rory. It's like, well, if that's what the group will say, I think that's a good idea and stuff like that. And we said, well, are you sure? You know, and oh, yeah, because he didn't want to rock the boat. But yet he felt like he was making the decisions. So a lot of times you can use that in your favor. You know, don't let people know you're making the decisions even though you are. That's why I said it's always good to be the vice president. That way, when the ship hits the fan, you can say, hey, I'm just the vice president.
That's a good strategy.
Yeah, I think Philip is kind of playing this. I think Philip realizes, and I think that's how he was able to work some magic last night. I think Philip has an air of intelligence of knowing that he rubs people wrong. And I think also that he realizes that in that essence, people's going to keep him in the game. I think he's smart enough to know that people are going to think, well, hey, this is who I want sitting beside of me. I think where people's going to make a mistake with Philip, though, is they're going to they realize he has an air of intelligence, but I don't think they realize how in-depth it goes. And I think if it comes down to the end, they may underestimate Philip, and Philip may be able to convince the jury of why he should win. And when you think about it, on one side, who do you want to side with? Philip. He, you know, I could beat Philip because a lot of people didn't get along with Philip. But then Philip can turn right around and say, hey, look, you know, I rubbed this person wrong. I rubbed this person wrong. But I was able to stay in the game. You know, and so it could come back to bite you. It's just all how he puts his spin to it. Philip's a lot smarter than what people give him any credit for on this show, and he can't put a twist to it. So that might be something to watch. But I think that's how he's able to move things and work things in this game thus far.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely he's a piece of work.
Yeah. Hey, I have a question that kind of started off early in the episode that I started thinking about, and this would be for somebody that's played the game or somebody that's followed it like you, Michael, but is there a strategy in who to get rid of or to keep as they approach the merge, and how are they able, what signs are there in the game that they know that a merge is imminent? Are there signs, numbers, if, you know, is it okay, let me ask it a different way. If a tribe gets down two or more people, is that a good sign that they're going to merge them?
Like from a fan perspective, can I answer, Bubba?
Yeah, please.
Okay, from a fan perspective, the fact that we're only given so much an episode, it depends on how they're editing the season because of the scripting. Like, that's a difficult question, Paul, because like every season is the past three or four seasons have been extremely different, like numbers wise. Like we've had tribes that have been smaller, we've had tribes where it's been men versus women, and then we've had fans versus favorites. So the past three or four seasons have been extremely different, and it's been very hard to read when a merge would be coming. And then on top of that, they had, like, drop your buffs as well. And so they're really mixing it up. And as a fan of the show, it's really good in that aspect that it's not predictable, that there's a merge coming or something. Because, you know, just the variables that they throw in, like the theme of the season. And
okay,
and it's hard
well, here's, Michael, the reason I brought it up, because it seemed like that's, maybe it's just the editing, maybe this conversation about merges is going on all the time, but it seemed last night that it was almost like they all knew that the merge was coming, and sure enough.
Well, don't forget, Paul, like, these people, they've been playing the game, like, constantly. And so I don't know if they get clues or anything, but they may be thinking this stuff out loud and the camera is catching this.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense.
So should we should we go on?
Yeah, please. Was you not getting ready to go to your notes?
Okay, so the Gota tribe sees a boat coming in, and they get all excited. The boat pulls in, gives them a note, and tells them to bring everything with them that they'll need for the remainder of the time in the game. They know it's merge time, and they're all excited. They get in the boat, and they are taken to the Bacall Beach. Bacall sees them, and now everyone is happy because they know it's the merge. They get the merge smorgasbord of food, and they all sit down to eat, and they have to rename the tribe. Anil Adam, as they are pronouncing it, is brought up, and they claim during the feast that it means new beginnings. But the truth is that Malcolm's mom's name is Madeline, and he just wanted to give his mom a shout-out. So Anil Adam, spelled backwards, is Madeline, and he just broke it into two words, and it is now Anil Adam, which is, as I said, Madeline, spelled backwards, broken into two words, which I thought was rather brilliant. I mean,
yes.
Nobody else has thought of that. And what a tribute to his mom. And nobody has caught on to it at all.
I don't think they will, neither.
I don't either.
There's Boston Rob, his tribe. I think it was Redemption Island when he named the tribe. It was after like some sort of ornament or something in their house. Yeah, but this was really nice touch that Malcolm did about his mom. So
I thought it was great. So Corinne and Malcolm eventually meet up together. Malcolm tells her, "I've got Eric, Eddie, Reynolds, and Reynolds." Corinne says, "I've got Michael." So in a cameo, we see Corinne telling us how much they accomplished in a five-minute download to each other. And she then says that she's yet to be involved in a blindside, and it's time. She points to her wrist where a watch would be on her wrist and says, "It's blindside time." Now, we need to take note of that because we all know what happens in the end. But, you know, she's so excited about being back with Malcolm and them having the numbers that they do, the people that they do, and she feels like they've pretty much got this game, you know, in their pocket right now. And, of course, you know, her feud with Philip is still ongoing. But they're going into their first individual immunity challenge, and it is a food eating challenge. And Jeff tells them, "You will square off until only two remain." And the first first challenge is a first row of six people: Corinne, Eric, Eddie, Andrea, Sherry, and Malcolm. And they're eating beetle larvae. And he said, Jeff says, this takes us back to season one, where they actually did this as well. And so he says, go. And Andrea actually finished first, followed by Malcolm and then Eddie. And so Sherry, Corinne, and Eric are out. And Andrea, Malcolm, and Eddie move on. Next round is Reynolds, Brenda, Philip, Michael, Cochran, and Dawn. And they are also eating beetle larvae. And Jeff has to tell Dawn to put hers down because she's so anxious to, she's wanting to win this so bad. She picks hers up and has hers in her hand before he's, you know, even ready to say go or anything. So he has to tell Dawn, put them down, you know. And she's like, why? And he says, because I have to say go. And she's like, oh, okay. And so she puts hers down. She makes everybody put their hands on the table. And then he says go. And so in that round, actually, let's see, Cochran gets them down really quick. And then Philip got his down next, and then Michael. But Michael almost didn't keep his down. So we had Cochran, Philip, and Michael who moves on. And now we're down to six people. Andrea, Malcolm, Eddie, Cochran, Philip, and Michael. And they are eating shipworms, which is akin to termites of the sea.
Oh, my God.
And they're so nasty. They have, like, this black ink sort of ick to them. And they're slimy and disgusting, and they're moving, and it's just really gross. And so out of these six, Jeff says three are moving on. And as soon as he says go, Malcolm and Eddie almost finish at the same time. And then Cochran finished, but Andrea was right by him. I mean, she was so close. But Cochran moved on, and that took out Andrea, Philip, and Michael. So now the next round we have Malcolm, Eddie, and Cochran. And now two will move on. And they are eating Baloo. Which is duck embryo. And you can see the feathers and the beak, and it's just disgusting. And as soon as Jeff says go, Cochran, I don't know how he does it, but he got that thing down just that quick. And Eddie somehow dropped part of his, and Jeff giving commentary says, he's going to have to find that and get that part in his mouth too. And and while he's making commentary, Malcolm actually finally gets his down, and Eddie couldn't even keep what he did have in his mouth down. So Eddie was out, so the round goes to Cochran and Malcolm for the final. So we're down to our final two, and they are eating pig brain. Ugh. So they take the lid off. They expose it. It's just gross. I'm not even... So he says go. Cochran gets it down. It was very, very close. I almost couldn't have said who got it down first, but Jeff said Cochran got it down first. Cochran does this just adorable victory dance. He is just so happy. And Malcolm congratulates him. He was a very, very good loser in this round. When Cochran got back to camp, he was talking about how it was dream fulfillment to win this challenge. And Malcolm in a cameo said that he likes Cochran. He wants to keep him around for a little while, but not that long. So he's glad they got this out of the way early enough, you know, to check off, you know, this off the bucket list for Cochran. But it was just really awesome to see Cochran win this. I don't think he, going into this challenge, really quite knew that he was going to win, but I think he really had had it in him to go in there. This was one challenge I think that he knew in his heart. If there was any challenge that he could win, this would be it. And he went in with that thought in his head, and he went for it, and he won it. And he was so happy. He was just, he could not contain himself.
Yeah.
It was fun to see.
I agree, Cherry. It was, knowing what a huge fan he is, for that to happen for him, you know, gave me a warm feeling. I was pleased with that, too.
I was, too. And then when they got back to camp, of course, Philip started telling Corinne and everyone else about how he threw the challenge. And to me, I was just like, you know, really, Philip? Come on.
But the other cute thing, Cherry, that I had in my notes was Cochran says, I beat Malcolm, the golden god of the treasure.
Yeah, you know that he was just literally floating on air after winning this challenge. I'm a fan of Cochran. I think he is, you know, I want to say adorable, but he's just so driven by Survivor. He knows everything about this game. And to me, you know, to see somebody who has such a love of the game win something that's so important to them, you know, it's just fun to see. You know, it was heartwarming, and I was just so happy for him. I didn't want to see anybody, you know, spoil his evening. And so,
well, I hope it's not the highlight of his game. You know, I hope he keeps, you know, keep moving forward and keep striving. It was definitely big, but I hope he doesn't think, you know, hey, I got
now
this, and just kind of go in relax mode.
Oh, I hope not.
I certainly hope not, too.
I need to go back to just before the food challenge started, and I still don't understand this. It was funny to me, but when they knew that it was going to be one of these eating challenges, Eddie was worried about how he would, you know, would ruin his dating life. What the heck was that about? You guys hear that?
I think that's Eddie. I think that's Eddie being Eddie.
How funny.
Well, I mean, that challenge did prove, you know, who had the less resistance when it came to gag reflex.
Oh, my gosh.
Phew.
There was another highlight about with Andrea, and she was so close. I mean, that little cute girl just gave it her all. But after she was eliminated and she had the black gunk still on her face, I checked it out. She was actually, with her tongue, she was actually licking it from her, you know, from her lips. It was like, are you kidding me? It's got to taste awful.
Can I interject something, too, that I noticed during the challenge?
Michael, please.
You noticed Brenda, her left leg?
I did.
Yeah, it was all bad.
I had that written down,
yep.
Michael. Did you see that, Bubba? She has, like, an ace bandage or something around her knee.
Yeah, I was just wondering, you know, how it came about.
They didn't.
Yeah,
they didn't show that at all, and it was
right.
And it looked fresh.
Yeah, it did.
Not dirty.
And that was like during the whole challenge. It was there. You could see it. I didn't know if you guys were going to bring that up later, but it was during that challenge, so I thought it was appropriate for that mention.
Absolutely. But you know, a lot of times you're never given food. Like during the challenge, where they never give you water, so it's a huge no-no. I mean, they get ratings to see you suffer. I know, you know, by her being given that ace bandage, I know for my season, Chad. He had that prosthetic leg that they had things that you would put, like, in your shoe to keep you from, like, if you had a bunion or a blister, it would go around it to keep it padded. Well, they were giving him that for to put on his stump for his prosthetic leg to keep from rubbing blisters on it so he would still be able to compete. And a lot of people didn't know that.
Oh.
So, you know, there's little things like that, you know, and you know, and I didn't think nothing of it as far as that. Some people would think, well, you know, that's cheating, but me, I mean, come on, you know. But, you know, there's a lot of people who's getting their feet rubbed raw because they came out right there with socks that were just like, you know, Walmart socks that were thin, and they were gone in no time. And
we have
blisters and stuff.
We have somebody that Mr. Mack in the chat room noticed in the last week's episode that Brenda had a Survivor buff on her knee last week.
Yeah.
I hadn't noticed that. Thanks, Mr. Mack.
Hey, well, you know, I wonder if she was just trying to get it on her own, you know, and take care of it, or did the doctor step in and say, hey, let's go ahead and put an ace bandage on it since that's not working? That's key now. That's a good observation.
Yep. And one thing I really liked was John. He just totally dominated that challenge. He's like, you know what, take no prisoners. This is a challenge that I can win, and he did it. And that
right.
was like totally. That was totally awesome.
Right. That's exactly how I felt. I think he realized that was a challenge that didn't require physical ability. You know, that brute strength that he doesn't have. This was a challenge that he could go in there and actually take from the rest of them, take from the big, you know, Malcolms and, you know, all the other guys. It just required him to control his gag reflex. And if he could do that and get this food down his throat, he could win this. And I think it was, you know, mind over matter. And he went in there and just dominated. And I was just amazed at how quick he got some of that nastiness down his throat. I mean, you know, when you set your mind to something, you know, sometimes it is just that mind over matter. And if you set your mind to something, he proved it right there. You know, no matter how disgusting it was, he was going to get it down and quickly. And
that's true. And it's, like you said, it's mind over matter. You can't think about it. But one of the hardest things is when you're not thinking about it is when you go to take a breath, that's when you taste it. So if you forget all your manners, chew with your mouth open and take breaths through your mouth as you're eating it, you're not going to get as much of the taste if you just breathe it through your nostrils. But you're just going to have to block it out of your head and just concentrate on something. See, the texture would have got me on those.
Yes.
Birds.
The balut?
The
balut or the
texture would. Yeah.
Well, I would have dominated that challenge. I would have just, like, with the stuff that I've been through in my life, that's nothing, man. I was worried about the smell, but then I'm like, well, first off, I can't smell, so there's a plus for me. And then I was like, everything else is just mind over matter. If John can do it, I can do it.
There you go. Now, that would have been a challenge I definitely wouldn't have won. Not me. I could have got through some of it, but I would have lost it when it came to the eating the baby birds.
Yeah, that one would have. I never would have made it through any of them, but I definitely wouldn't have made it through that one. That would have taken me out for sure.
And you notice how Jeff Probst was so giddy after? He's like, John Cochran, you won!
Yes. Yeah, that was, I think, I mean, the entire tribe was actually celebrating for John Cochran. I mean, they were all celebratory for him. It was a joyous moment, even you know, for Malcolm. He went over and congratulated him, and even though he just lost, he, you know, went over and shook his hand and was not upset that Malcolm, I mean, that Cochran, you know, was dancing around. And like John said, anyone else who had celebrated like he did, it would have been taken as rude and not received very well. But because it was him, and because he, you know, doesn't often have, you know, the ability to even come close to winning, you know, one of those immunity challenges, he was able to celebrate his little butt off, and it was well received.
And it was, sorry to interrupt, Jerry, but it was also very interesting when you saw John sitting on the bench. Malcolm sat right beside him.
Pardon me?
Malcolm sat right beside John when they were celebrating as a tribe.
Yes. Yep. I think those two are fine. You know, I think Malcolm does like, you know, John. I think, like you said, in his cameo after, I think he plans on keeping him around, you know, for a while, just, you know, not too long. But it's going to be interesting to see. I think John may have the smarts to outwit Malcolm.
Yes, I agree.
You know, John has played this game. He's a master at this game. And if Malcolm isn't really, really careful, John Cochran can outwit him in the blink of an eye. That's my opinion, anyway.
Well, no, I mean, I think you're right on. But sometimes you can think too much, and, you know, paranoia sits in. But I really don't think Cochran's going to have that problem. I mean, it happens to people in the past, but I personally don't think he will have that problem. I think he's good about separating facts from paranoia. And, you know, there's a few people in this game that, you know, if something sticks your head up, you know, they get a little paranoid or whatnot, and then, you know, they take it from there, but I don't think he's one of them.
That's funny you should mention that. When they were scrambling and trying to, you know, figure out the cracks, like you said, Baba, that's going to bring out a lot of paranoia within those people. That could be a huge advantage for somebody else.
Exactly. And I think Cochran's the type of person that can use that paranoia against them.
Yeah.
You know, you get somebody paranoid, if you're the first person that gets to them, you're golden. When a person's paranoid, they're more apt to believe the first story they hear. And if you go to them with a half-truth, you tell them things that you already know that they know, and everyone's like, well, that's true. You can put your own little spin to it or your own little lie to it, and they're going to take it hook, line, and sinker. They'll take the bait and not even see the hook in it. So that paranoia, and I think Cochran's smart enough to do that, use that paranoia. wrap it around some facts that they know or whatnot or something like that, and then just slide that little line, and he could probably, you know, he can maneuver me any way he wants to. So, you know, they better have their guard up if it comes to paranoia and not overthink things.
Yeah, I can see how, you know, I mean, that's all you have to do out there.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, think about the game. And every time, as you said, you know, Bubba, when somebody walks away and starts talking, you think, are they talking about me? Are they talking, you know, are they talking game? Are they talking, you know, it's one of those things where all you think about is the game. And when you see somebody else talking, you think, are they talking about the game? And it consumes you. That's...
Yeah, it does. And the thing of it is, you have to think of things that's going to help you in the game, but it's camouflaged. And what I mean by that is get to know the people. Ask them about their families. Ask them about, you know, their parents or their brothers or their siblings or girlfriends or wives or whatever. Find out all that stuff. Get that, because that way you know how that person thinks. You know how they kind of operate. You know where their heart is. Cameras usually don't get that because they think, oh, that's just filler. But no, it's not, because then you're getting in, you know, to the psyche of the person, and you can understand them more and what makes them beat and what makes them do the things they do. Then, on down the road, they've also been known to have challenges where they ask you questions about these people.
Especially in the end, especially if you make finals. That's where that information comes in ever so preciously. If you know the information about all the others, that's where that info is going to come in so importantly. And
exactly. And when you share intimate details like that, it makes people bond with you. One
so
of the most brilliant moves in Survivor history is when Richard Hatch shared with everyone that he was gay. Now, when he shared that, they got everybody opened up. And if you go back and watch, he wisely sat back. He opened up something, you know, private about him, and it got other people. And he just sat back and watched and listened to everybody else. And that's how he knew people clicked. And that's how he knew when he went to somebody to get something to do what he wanted, he knew how to present it in a form that he felt that would, you know, encourage him to go his way. I mean, he was very smart with it. So if you're playing that game, you're getting to know people, you know, intimately like that, about personal things about their lives, it really makes it hard for them not to get along with you, not to like you, and makes it even harder for them to write your name down.
Right. To me,
as you bring that up, Bubba, for me, I can't help but think about this most recent Big Brother season and Dan. That's exactly what Dan did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To me, Richard Hatch was one of the most brilliant people to ever play Survivor, and I've said that for many, many years, and many people disagree with me, but I absolutely loved Richard Hatch from, you know, early on in Survivor Season 1. Many people hated him and really disliked his gameplay.
You know, I think Richard Hatch is the greatest Survivor that's ever played the game. And a lot of people argue with that. But he's the one that started with the Alliance.
Yep.
He's the one that, during the whole game, have you ever known anybody to ever play this game, and on day one, the first thing they did is when they hit the beach, they said, hi, my name is Richard Hatch. You know, my name's on the check. I'm winning $1 million. He was telling people this at the beginning of the game. He was telling other people, I was going to go ahead and give me the check. He was saying nobody else has had the intestinal fortitude to do that. And then he backed it up.
Yeah.
Nobody else has done
talked
it.
The talk, and then he walked the walk.
And
that's right.
And that's the thing, too. Like, a lot of Survivors, they try to, like, from a fan perspective, a lot of Survivors try to compare the game to, like, chess or, you know, other great games out there. But as a fan, I think Survivor is just Survivor. You can't compare it to anything else. Because, you know, Chess, you're playing one-on-one. Survivor, you're playing one-on-18, one-on-20, plus whatever subdivisions that's happening within the game.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, so many freaking different levels. This is, like, it puts Chess to shames. Like, that's why I love this game so much as a fan, because you can just see the dynamics of every little thing going on. And that's why I love this episode, and then I love the beginning, like the first episode and this episode, because that's the stuff that I love to watch. And so for me, that episode last night was just pure excitement for me. It was like, it was just, that's Survivor at its core, and that's what I love.
Absolutely.
Richard Hatch, he, like I said, he talked the talk and he walked the walk, and he did it naked most of the time.
and he showed the show.
I mean, he didn't care. He was going to intimidate them. He was going to dominate them. He was going to get into their head in whatever way he could. And he was going to control that game. And that's what he did. And he did it really, really well. He bonded with those that he wanted to. You could almost see him go one by one and, you know, bond with each person.
Yeah, you don't have to have, I mean, you know, a lot of people think going in there and being everybody's friend and stuff, you don't have to be everybody's best friend. Just have a working relationship with someone. I mean, and you'd be amazed, the power of suggestion. You'd be amazed if he was going off and talking to someone, if you had that little personal information. Like I was saying, if someone came up to me and said, and we were talking, you know, things about the game, and not necessarily strategy, but just things that happen in the game, and someone say, you know, Bubba, you know, I know you got a wife and kids and stuff like that, and you're here for them, you know, and I could never write your name down. Okay, that might be a total lie, but if you made that connection, you would take a hook, line, and sinker. Trust me, John Kenny done it to me. I thought he'd never write my name down. But, yes. But, you know, and I really believe that if you get to know someone in little intimate details, it's a lot easier to catch people with their guard down.
Do you find, Bubba, that when you're playing, like, a lot of people, like, try to be, like, math smarts, and, like, they try to, like, they're good with numbers, but you also have to be good with words and stories, because then you have to make sure everything adds up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't
yes,
have to be a good you don't have to be, like, a good mathematician. But if you're, like, a good writer or, like, you know, you know the stories and you can basically see behind everything that is being said and see if it
yeah.
all adds up.
Yeah, and see, Scout was good at that. She looked like she was laying low and stuff like that. But she looked at me as, boy, he's such a storyteller. And it wasn't until after the game that she realized that I was really who I was. I wasn't playing a redneck. I am a redneck, you know. And I am from the country and stuff like that. And you know, it wouldn't just you know, a hacked up accent just from Southern stuff like that. You know, I was who I was. But where she writes stories and stuff like that, she just thought, oh, you know. But that's who I am. But you know, but like you said, if you've got an edge, if you can tell a story, if you realize you got 2 ears to listen twice as much as you speak or whatnot around the campfire, you pick up a lot of information that way, and it can go real far.
That's the key right there. And so many people don't know how to do that, and that's listen twice as much as you speak.
Exactly, and I tell my boys this all the time, especially. And if there's anybody out there that's a freshman or a sophomore in high school that might take this advice, you don't go in and try to be the life of their party. You know, when I was in high school, they're juniors and seniors. You don't go in there and try to be the life of their party. When I was in college, you go in and play football. You're a freshman. You don't go in and try to be the life of their party. When I was in professional wrestling, you go in the locker room. You shake everyone's hand. So, you know, you go down, you sit down, you start putting on your tights, you keep your mouth shut. You don't be the life of their party. Same thing with Survivor. You're around the camp. Mix and mingle and use some meshing skills. But you don't try to be the life of their party.
Yeah.
And ours, you had JP wanting to be the life of the party. You had Brooke wanting to be the life of the party. You had a lot of dominant personalities. So I had what I call... mine, it's like they would bust on me with my accent. They'd bust on me about a few things. But what I do is I throw these, you know, I would let them have this fun, they'd laugh, and then I'd throw some zingers out there. And it's like I was getting them on the upper hand because they're just throwing a bunch of stuff out. But what I was throwing out was quality, not quantity. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and it's like a little less said, but that helps you go a lot further in the game. If you mix, mingle, not be the life of the party, but you're able to hold your own.
Yeah, and that's the thing I miss as a fan, is I miss, like, more of the show, and we only get 1 hour of, like, 3 days of what's going on, and there's a huge social game going out there.
Right.
And, you know, that's like that's a huge bulk of the game. And
you know, I think they've done, and they kind of had this at season 2. And I don't know how, unless you do it on a website and you reveal just on the website, things like that, but kind of a thing of as the show goes on, they release certain information that you can read. They give you a little bit more information about what's going on than what you see on the show. And it's like you can have a two-screen experience. This is going down, and like, say Phillip's talking to somebody, okay, and they're having a conversation. And then they could put up a post, earlier Phillip was talking to such and such and said this, and this is what, you know, just little tidbits of information behind the scene. Because I agree, you got an hour show, and you're only actually getting, what, about 33 minutes of that? Because
yeah,
we got,
like,
commercial breaks and everything.
Yeah, it's like 40 minutes or something altogether, yeah.
Yeah. So.
And
listen,
that's...
Go ahead, please, Michael.
Yeah, I was going to say, and they have, like, all these cameras. Like, they have the camera crew. They have the still cameras around the camp. They got, like, so much a wealth of a database. Like, not only are you looking at from one perspective because you're looking at face on, but, like, there's a whole camp that's going on at that same time, you know. And like, we're only looking at it from, like, one perspective, and there's so many perspectives going on at one time. And I get excited because, you know, I get a piece of it when I'm watching the show. I don't know if that makes sense, but I kind of want more.
Right. And I tell you what, I really think when all this comes ahead and it's over, I think Survivor is going to come out with some DVDs of what you didn't see.
That would be golden, man.
Well, I'm telling you, there were some nights, especially those first few nights at our camp that we were together, it was like comedy hour all night long. I mean, this guy busting, hacking. I mean, and it was a lot of funny stuff. And, you know, if it's on DVD, I guess you don't have to censor all of it, but we're on a talk show, and I'm not going to go through some stuff that we'll see it, but it's a lot of stuff that people would find humorous that they'd like to know.
Yeah, also, I add
a lot of information on why people got voted out when they did. You know?
Like, I even went back, like, they did, like, some of those commentaries, like, a few seasons ago, they would have, like, a couple survivors talk about that episode, and then they would bring another survivor on, and they would talk about, now, this is what I did here and stuff. You know, and I love that because you get to think what you get to see what they're thinking, and
right.
I would love to get into Philip's head as they were showing like these episodes. I would love to see like his explanations.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I'm gonna have to step away from the show and catch everybody next week. But Cherry, Paul, Michael, it's been great. Michael, I really enjoy you being on the show. I really
do. Thanks, man.
And thank you for coming. Cherry, you have a great night. Can you take it and finish up for the show?
Absolutely. Bubba, thank you so much for being with us tonight. As always, you take care and have a wonderful week. We enjoy you as always. I hope you have a very wonderful weekend and a blessed week.
All right, you too. And Paul, you have a good one, buddy. I appreciate you being on the show now.
I think he's got himself muted.
Okay.
Bubba, you have an awesome night, man. Take care of yourself.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Y'all take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Take care, Bubba.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
That was okay. Nice of him to say that.
So I didn't take a whole lot of notes regarding the actual tribal council.
Okay.
I did mention in my notes that Philip went to Corinne and talked about splitting the votes and that Cochran saw the chance to sort of get rid of Corinne at that point and that they were all talking about getting rid of Sherry out loud, but
yep.
Avi... The undertone that we weren't hearing was Corinne. And so.
Hey, thank you,
there
Cherry.
We go.
I don't know what happened. I went to refresh my studio because I tried to unmute myself, and you know the little swirly symbol, like it's loading, it wouldn't go. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to refresh it. And now I'm totally not able to get on to the studio, so thanks for unmuting me. Bye, Bubba.
No, there's one little thing, Cherry.
Technical difficulties there.
If I can say something, it was one little glance where Philip was wearing glasses that night. I didn't know if you guys noticed that.
Yeah, there's times when I have seen him wear glasses, and I don't know if he wears contacts, you know, during the day, and then takes them out and wears glasses, like at night. It
yeah,
seems like there was a reference at one of the earlier shows or something. It seems like there was a reference to him having contacts in.
Sherry, I'll tell you when it was. Remember when he had to dive under the water? Somebody
that's
took his
what
goggles.
It was. Yes.
That's what it was, yes.
I knew there was a reference to him having contacts in. And
right.
I couldn't... Okay, thank you, Paul. I knew... My mind just couldn't remember quick enough. But yes, I... Okay, thank you for clearing
all
that
right.
up.
All right, the other thing that I don't want to go without talking about is there was at least two times again on last night's episode where we heard Philip talking about playing like Boston Rob again.
Yes.
You got to love Philip, Paul.
The part that I bristled at was when he said how selfish of a player Corinne was. I thought, I wrote down pot kettle. I mean,
oh man, I gotta tell you guys.
It was something along, she always gets her way, you know, that's what it was.
But
go on, Jerry, with your notes.
Well, there was a question in the chat room that I wanted to address. Brandon asked, you think the votes really come out like that, 5 Sherry in a row and then all of Corinne's in a row? No, I don't think that. I think production puts them in whatever order they deem necessary for the show to have the impact that they are looking for that episode. And
I agree.
What I am saying is, you see them oftentimes come out, say it's John and Susie, just for using random names. You know, one for John, one for Susie, one for John, one for Susie, one for John, one for Susie. So they spread them out evenly until it gets down to the final vote. You know that they're not all put in there, you know, one and one and one and one and one and one and one, you know. No, production
right.
puts them in there in whatever order they deem is necessary for the impact that they are looking for this particular episode.
Exactly. And what?
Yeah.
And what I've noticed at times, too, is the first name that is shown often ends up being safe. They try to think that this person is going to be going out, you know, and they show a name, and then all of a sudden, boom, 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 which they did again, you know, last night. It was, and I love the way they saved Eric's Corinne to last, because it was like in bold, filled in letters, and it was like the final nail in the coffin. But I do want to quickly, before we run out of time, ask how you guys feel about Corinne confiding in Dawn, and if she had not sought out Dawn, maybe she wouldn't have gone and ratted to to Cochran and
right. Dawn was actually the catalyst in this whole
mm-hmm.
thing, and you know. That's a good point, Paul. Dawn was the catalyst in this. She said that she was not going to be the one. And I think that's, you know, that's why we saw her going to get water and saying that, you know, you can't let the game happen to you. You have to be the decision maker and
yeah,
make
right
decisions
in
this game.
That was right at the beginning of the episode, and it set it up for, that's what, yeah, exactly.
That's why we saw that part, that set up. You know, her making the decision to go and tell Cochran. If Corinne had not told Dawn and not confided in her, and Dawn had not gone and told Cochran, I think the outcome of the game would have been totally different.
And what was really interesting too was earlier, what's her name, Corinne, was talking with Malcolm, I think, on the beach, and she was like, oh, maybe we can talk to Dawn about this.
Yeah.
And, like, they were talking about, like, already talking to Dawn. So I felt like totally that Dawn, and then that was the reason why they showed Dawn at the well, charging, getting the water and stuff, because then that clued everything in for me, saying, you know what, I'm playing a game now, so I think that money being like either an hour or a few minutes after the decision or before the decision, you know how they do that? Like they do a little reflection of something.
Right.
And I think that was when Dawn set those things in motion, because John was near the camp and then Dawn went out. So she might have confided in John already and then kind of like did that cut scene, you know, with the camera.
Yeah. And how about we got actually to get a little bit of Eric?
Yes. And I loved what Eric did because they were at the camp, and there was there was the camera crew there at the flag, and then he pointed at the name that they were thinking about voting out. Did you guys see that?
Repeat that again. Repeat, Michael.
Okay, when Eric was standing in front of the flag, right when they were talking, when they were admiring the flag, I forget who it was, who he was with, but he actually pointed at the flag, the top left-hand corner.
Oh, yeah.
And they were using the camera on that. They were going to discuss things, I think, but there was people around there as well, and so he pointed up there, and then who he was with kind of nodded their head.
Cherry, everybody on the new tribe flag, they wrote each of their names on that flag. So instead of vocally saying who to get out,
right,
she pointed to it. Yeah, that's right.
Yep. And you know, Eric is one who does not talk strategy. And to me, I think that may be a good strategy in itself because he's always got people wondering what he's going to do.
And also I think he's owning up to like that previous season that he was on because he was also a fan, don't forget.
Right.
That's true.
So like he has a lot of stuff that he has to worry about when he's on in that season because he was a fan and now he's a favorite and then he sees the fans. So they might be approaching him during the season saying, you know what, you were a fan. Come on, work with us or something like that. So he might be getting information. So maybe that's why he's very low key.
Yeah, he's very low key this season.
The other thing, again, I keep saying before we run out of time, I'm curious to find out what the fallout is for next week's episode because you had Malcolm, you know, how it's going to affect Malcolm's game because he voted against the favorites.
Yeah, I get what he was trying to do, and we discussed that last time when we were all talking, like, what position Malcolm is in, like to talk with everybody, try to work something out. I think Malcolm did it because he has the idol.
Oh, that's right.
And I think he did it that way because he has the idol, he's playing aggressive, he's trying to make his move, and I think, you know, they kind of sense something because this, why would he be on a favorite, right?
Right.
Right.
Yep.
So, no, like this, I don't know. It's just like, I get this game and it's kind of weird.
So I just extended the show. So if in 7 minutes you happen to lose sound, I'm typing this into the chat room as well. All you'll have to do is refresh and you'll get us back. But we were still talking about some final thoughts here, and I didn't want us to run out of time before we were finished, so I went ahead and extended. So just hit refresh. 6 minutes is when we'll hit that point where you might need to refresh. So
would you guys like me to sign off?
The show has been extended, so we won't run out of time right away. So we can continue talking a little bit.
I'm not sure what you said something about. Do you want me to sign off? Absolutely not, Michael.
All right, because I know how you guys like to do like the last comments with yourselves and stuff. So I try to respect the show, you know.
Thank you. No, I just think it's going to be an interesting, I know they gave us a little tease about a possible relationship developing between Andrea and who was it, Reynolds?
Yeah, I think it was Reynolds, yeah.
I think that was an edit job. I don't think she's falling for him at all. I don't think she'll do that. What do you think, Cherry?
I thought it was her and Eddie.
Oh, yeah, it was Eddie.
Okay, whichever. It was one of those two
boys.
Yeah,
whomever.
One of the two pretty boys.
See, that's the thing. Paul and I, we got Andrea's name, but the guy's name, we don't know.
So do you think that was an edit job, guys? Don't you think?
I think Eddie is actually hitting on her, but I think Andrea is way too smart to get involved in any showmance.
That's what I was thinking, too.
And I think Andrea, if she is toying with this at all, is doing it just for show maneuver.
Power.
It kind of reminds me, though, a little bit from Redemption Island when Matt got back and they were sitting on the beach and he was chatting them up again. And I was just like, flashback. I don't know if it's because of Philip, of a lot of Philip, you know. But then when you saw Andrea again, and I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't think that she will get involved in a showmance. I don't think now, you know. I don't know. Stranger things have happened. We've seen, you know, showmance has come out of Survivor. Boston Rob is a perfect example.
Oh, yeah.
Puff, thank you so much for being with us tonight. You know, there's, and I can't imagine, of all shows, Survivor would be the last one I could imagine starting a showmance on. One that you cannot brush your teeth, take a shower, put on makeup, shave your legs, you know. OMG, that would be the last show I would ever.
See, that would be like another reason why I would do so well on that show, I think, is because I can't smell. I have no worries about that.
But
I would have a blast. I'd be like, oh, you haven't showered for 3 days, 4 days? Doesn't matter. Seriously, it got that bad, and it's good in a way too. So whatever, I'll take the good with the bad any day.
I mean they are, you know, they, you talk about people being at, you know, their worst. That's when you literally see people, you know, at their worst, when, you know, they're out there living in the dirt, in the woods, without soap, without toothpaste, without anything. And, you know, they're in the same clothes. They, you know, it's just horrible living conditions. And I just, you know, people who are used to, you know, getting up and putting on their makeup and doing their hair every day, and, you know, even the guys, I'm sure there's some pretty boys out there. I'm sure they're getting, you know, they're used to getting up and, you know, doing their hair and putting gel or whatever they do and shaving, and, you know, I'm sure they have their daily, you know, hygiene routines. You know, none of them can do any of that out there. And it just has to be the most horrible place to hook up with a new romance, a new interest in your life. I just can't imagine that being the place you would want to meet someone and start.
Well, let's just say with all that you pointed out there, if somebody did fall in love, it would be true love, not superficial.
Well, I guess Rob and Amber have shown us that to be true. They have been together. They're on, they have three kids now, and
yep.
You know, they seem to have found the true magic out there. So,
what was
I guess
really?
You can't fall for somebody out there. It's definitely the real thing. So
you could have long walks on the beach. You could be under the gaze of the stars because there's no lights around.
So, hey, Michael,
you got a good kickstart.
Hey, is this? Oh, now we got Emmett's mom. I'm sorry, I'm not listening. I'm just muted, seeing BB Canada right now.
Yeah,
is this the first time they've done pieces from the families?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry, Cherry. I know it's something that you're not. Not that you're not interested, but you're not watching. But the hometown videos of the family members is always, for me, every Big Brother season is always a highlight for me. And this is the first time I've seen them do that for Big Brother Canada. And I just wanted it. I'm sorry, Cherry.
That's quite all right.
Don't worry, Paul. Don't worry. We're all fans of reality TV here. We don't need to apologize for something we like.
That's right. I fully understand.
Okay.
We'll go ahead.
And you're not alone. You're not alone, Paul.
We all know that at the end of this episode of Survivor, it was Philip who won the battle, and Corinne was voted out in a blindside. And she was blindsided.
Yeah.
And that was the name of this episode, The Blind Side.
Kind of reminds me of the movie,
The
Blind Side.
Corinne. And I think there was some people who were a little shocked. But for the most part, I think, you know, Corinne was the most shocked of all.
You can see it at Tribal.
Yeah. So we'll go ahead and wrap this one up. I want to remind everyone that this Sunday there will not be an Amazing Race episode aired on CBS because of the Country Music Awards, but we did not have a show here on the Rad Reality Show this past Sunday because it was Easter Sunday. So we are going to have our second pit stop show with Louis Stravato and recap this past Sunday's episode this week.
You mean I don't get to play my spoiler sound effect? Aww.
No, you don't. So, because everybody will have already seen it, and we don't have to worry about spoiling anybody's show.
Exactly. I have to tell you, don't spoil it for me, because it's still on my DVR. I have not watched Sunday's episode yet, so please don't spoil it for me.
Paul. Okay.
I need to ask quickly, because I brought it up at the beginning of the show that Temecula is happening, and we know our Portuguese princess is out there. Cherry, do you know anything about Manic Monday being affected by that?
We will have a Manic Monday show. I think Michelle will be with us. I can't say for 100% positive that she will be with us. But I think she will be back. So I would say be here. If she's back with us, she's going to have stories to tell
Oh, yes.
I mean, you know, Michelle, when she just gets back from an event, it's an exciting show. So, make that. I was just getting to that once I finished.
I know. I was
Sunday,
playing a little segue you for
ahead.
You there, Jerry.
I promised Michelle on Twitter that when I go to Nova Scotia, I go again in September, I promised Michelle that I would send her some Nova Scotian wine. It's very, very famous wine, and it's apparently very good. I don't drink, but my dad and my family just, we live a few clicks away from this very famous vineyard, so I just thought, you know, might as well send her. Since she loves, you know, like, she loves a good glass of wine, so, you know.
Absolutely.
Hey, I noticed something, Michael, and I know you're certainly a U.S. Survivor fan.
Yeah.
But in the Reality Stars list of who's going to be at Temecula, one of them is from Survivor Italy. Have you ever watched any other country Survivors?
I confess I've watched... the only one I watched was Survivor India.
And I did it on a whim.
It's awesome. I did it on a whim and I just enjoyed it. And then I was like, I wonder what Big Brother is like around the world. And then I was like, oh, first thing I gotta check is Big Brother Brazil. Come on. And so I did that, and I was like, oh, man, yeah, okay, now I know. And so, you know, I haven't watched the Italy one, though, but now that you've mentioned it, I'm definitely going to watch it, and then I'll bring one of my close friends, Anita, over, and she'll interpret it for me. So.
Oh, cool.
So, because she watches...
I don't know why, Cherry, but I just love hearing about other countries. You know, we talked a bit about that with Reality Rally Awards.
Poking my head around and I was wondering if there would ever be a Survivor Canada. Like, it doesn't have to be in Canada, you know, and I just don't think that it would be cost effective, and that's probably the main reason why they haven't done it. Otherwise, they probably would have done it by now.
That could be. It's a very expensive show to, you know, produce. And
I remember
because it is on network TV, you guys are able to see that, correct? I mean, without jumping through hoops, you can see Survivor.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, we have a station called Global TV, and it's actually owned by Shaw, but it's kind of like a subsidiary, so it's very independently run. And that's how, like, Big Brother is owned by Shaw Canada, which is, I think, based in Vancouver and in Winnipeg. We have a huge presence here. I think the Shaw family live here as well. And what's really interesting is just how they networked it all on the TV stations, and they picked the right place for it, like Big Brother picked the right place. But we don't have to go through hoops or hurdles or anything to watch any Big Brother U.S. because we have Global TV, and then we have Survivor as well. And we actually have separate, like, prizes as well that go on the station, like on the TV show. Like, we have our own final fantasy picks and stuff like that. And it's really very involved. And there's a huge, huge presence here in Canada for reality. So,
I actually remember one season of Survivor where they said the island or wherever they were going for the upcoming season. And I went online and they said, Survivor US has been here, you know, 3 or 4 times. And then they went on and listed a whole bunch of other countries that had also used that same location for their survivors. So I don't know how many countries do it, but there are quite a few, apparently. So I don't see why they couldn't get Canadian citizens to, you know, go to the Philippines and do it. That would make sense to me.
Yeah, it's a lot to do with the CBS contract, though, Paul. I've looked into it very heavily, and we also have very different tax rates as well. This would be considered prize money, and we don't have taxes for any prize money. When these contestants, they win $100,000, they get to keep it lock, stock, and barrel. They don't have to pay any taxes on this for Big Brother.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, if they win that $1 million, say if I went on the show and I played and I won the season, I would not have to pay any taxes whatsoever, even though it's $1 million. Because we don't have to pay taxes on our lotto at all, either.
Whoa.
Yeah. So there's a huge difference in because we're part of we're part of a Commonwealth, so we have a huge different tax structure, and you know that's something that the lawyers and CBS I can't see working around, which is very unfortunate. Because I said I would play just to be on the show and then donate everything to a U.S. charity or something. So.
That would be awesome.
It's
having to pay all the taxes. So, getting back to closing the show, I do want to play one promo before we close. And this is something we've been doing on every show, and we will continue to do so until they have their award show, which is coming up quickly. Reality Wanted Awards is doing their reality awards, and we want everyone to go and fill out this poll that they have put on the internet. It is all about reality shows, and if you haven't been there yet, you have to go and check out this poll. It is so well done. They have clips for you to view, so if you have not actually watched the particular show that they're asking about, you can go and view a clip and see what they're talking about before you vote. It's just one of the most wonderful done polls I've ever done. Check it out. Go there daily and vote for the reality shows that you love the most. We want to keep this going. We want to keep this, on a daily basis, go and vote, because this is something we want to see on TV next year. The more participation that is involved this year, the more that they will see, the powers that be will see that it really should be on TV.
Yep.
This should have been done years ago. It's a little, behind the schedule as far as when it should have already been done, but it's here now. Let's blow this thing up. Let's let them know that we all want this. We want to see these people get the awards that they're due, and the only way we can do that is go there daily and get your votes in. Let them know that we are watching, we are participating, and we want to be heard. So I'm going to play this clip, and we'll come back and close the show. Kristen, my name is Cherry Garcia. Thank you so very much for joining us tonight on Monday with Michelle Costa. Would you please let us know who you are and who you're with?
Yes, my name is Kristen Moss. I'm the executive producer of the Reality Wanted Reality TV Awards, first annual. Andrew Ward and I put together a social networking group for reality TV professionals about a year ago. Well, then we got sponsored by Mark Yowitz, owns RealityWanted.com, and one day I said to him, I really want to put together the reality awards. This has been my idea for a while, for several years now, and he's like, let's go, let's start it. And that was back in October, and the public vote just opened today. How we did it was we came to a conclusion of the top 10 to 12 nominees for each category. And anyone who is a part of the industry was able to vote for the top 10 to 12 in each of the 22 categories. And from there, top five nominees, anyone worldwide can go to realitywantedawards.com. You'll see a big yellow button that says Vote Now. It's as simple as that. You can vote once a day. The deadline, April 8th, the awards on April 11th, which is Thursday, in West Hollywood, California. Tell your friends. You can really promote this thing. I mean, we want the Twitter followers to be tagging their favorite stars and letting them know that they voted for them. And, you know, be sure to tweet us at Reality Awards TV. You know, we want to hear about it. We want to hear how people are voting, and we want to know who's voting for who. And I think it'll be a fun competition on Twitter, on Facebook, and, you know, just all over the web and everything.
Let's talk about how people can come see it, if there's tickets.
Well, right now on our website, you can go to realitywantedawards.com, and that's a one-stop shop for anyone that wants to be part of the event or attend.
Are you going to be streaming it or videotaping it?
It won't air live, but there is a chance you might be able to see it later. There's several production companies that are interested in filming it this year. Exciting thing we're doing is we're going to be live streaming the red carpet. And it's a new system that they just used at the Grammys where, let's say, Big Ann from Mobwives comes up. We can actually look at Twitter live and see questions, as well as pull people in from anywhere around the world on video to ask their own questions.
Definitely check the website, but not only just for the voting, but we're going to be posting all the celebrities that are going to be coming. We're going to have all the information on the live streaming. That's where you're actually going to be watching that video from. So that website is a mecca of information. There's a lot that's going to be going on in the next month or so. RealityWantedAwards.com is where you need to go to keep updated. On our Twitter as well, we have trivia. Every day we put a trivia question. Answer those. We're keeping tally. We're keeping score. The Twitter handle is at RealityAwardsTV.
Kristen and Andrew, this has been just a joy. This show and the Rad Reality Show Network is all about reality shows.
We're honored that you had us on, and I hope to be back soon.
Thank you guys so much again. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great night, and we'll see you on the Reality Wanted Awards show.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
So there we have it. It's www.realitywantedawards.com. You can go vote once a day, every day. Make sure you check that out. And as I said, this Sunday, even though there won't be an Amazing Race episode on CBS because of the Country Music Awards, we will be having our show, the second Pit Stop show, with Louis Stravato here on the Rad Reality Show Network to recap last week's episode that was aired on Easter Sunday. So join us here to talk about The Amazing Race. And then on Monday, Manic Monday, make sure you join us with Michelle Costa to talk about Reality Rally. And I'm sure that's going to be a very, very fun show.
Hey, Sherry, is it true a little birdie told me that you were thinking maybe you want to do a show about the trial?
Oh, my God. Did Joe really? Joe did
I'm
that,
sorry.
Right?
Yeah, he did. I know how to push your buttons, don't I?
Yes, you do. You know, I could talk about the Jody Arias trial once a day. I mean, I am so involved. You're hooked into Big Brother Canada. I am hooked into the Jody Arias trial. Just like the Casey Anthony trial and all those before it, I am so addicted to trials like this. And juror number 5 was in the courtroom today. She is now sitting in the courtroom. And, yeah, it's just crazy. But
and
I can talk
really
about this trial, like, every day. But, no, I'm not going to start doing a show.
I want to let you know some good news, too. It's now 3-2 Blues in the third.
Yeah,
yes, I have it on behind me.
Something just happened on Big Brother Canada just now.
Tell Paul. Spoil it for him.
No.
What?
No, I don't spoil. Todd doesn't, or Paul doesn't like.
Tonight's the live eviction, and the person going, I knew that's who they were going for. I didn't see what the votes were, but it's kind of sad because that's some good TV there, you know, that we're going to miss. But holy cow, guys, I just, so much to talk about, so little time.
All right, guys. Well, I'm going to sign off.
Okay, Michael. Thank you very much for joining us. You are always – it's so much fun having you on with us. Can we just book you for the rest of the Survivor season?
I'll try and make it all the time. Try and make it all the time, okay?
We would love that. We love having you with us.
All right. I'll make it my best effort to be on every time here.
We certainly would appreciate it. We love having you. You add a lot of great commentary to our show, and you're just a joy to have with us. So we certainly appreciate having you, and if you can make it, we'd love having you on. So,
well, you know what? You guys know I love the game so much, but this really brings me even a step closer to it. And, it's the least I can do. I love it.
Well, thank you so much. You have a wonderful night. Have a great weekend. And we hope to talk to you next Thursday.
Sure. I'll make my best effort. I don't see any problems, so I should be there.
Okay. Thank you, Michael, so much. Take care. And everybody, make sure you go and check Michael out over at Survivor Whispers and Big Brother Whispers, too.
Okay. Love you guys.
Love you, too.
Take care, honey.
Thanks,
Mike.
Bye.
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 And I want to make sure that I do say, Paul, I was very refrained in not getting any digs in about the Blues.
Just I know.
Whipping.
So now, why are you bringing it up now?
Just whipping those Minnesota boys up there last week.
You deserved that win, let me tell you. You absolutely did. Maybe we'll get to play in the playoffs.
I can only hope that the Blues even see the playoffs.
We just got another player before trade deadline and never heard of the guy before, but he was the captain of the Buffalo Sabres, and it's like a big-time scorer, Pominville. Have you heard that guy's name before?
I have not. I can't say that I have.
Anyway, he's supposedly, I'm recording it now, he's supposed to join the team tonight. So, anyway.
I was surprised to see that Forsberg, Mr. Mack was just talking about Forsberg in the chat room. That's a big get that he was talking about. So I'm going to have to brush up on my hockey and talk to my husband a little bit. I had not heard about the Forsberg move. So thank you to Mr. Mack for sharing that. And thank you to everyone, Phil and Puff Puff and Michael Doyle and Brandon and all the people that were out there in our chat room.
Mr. Mack
is always, always just thrills me when I see him and Phil and all of our regulars out there in the chat room. It makes my night when I see our regulars pop in. That's part of what makes us a family that we are. I love seeing our regulars out there. So, everyone, take care. Have a great, great weekend. Be back with us on Sunday night and on Manic Monday, and then we'll see you back here next Thursday. So, take care. We love you. You know we do. I'm going to close the show with Ron, as I always do, and decide which one I'm going to play tonight. Let's see, here we go. All right, this is Ron closing the show. Take care, everybody. Love you.
Tonight, It was a great show. And
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in.
Well, there's no space and time. I love you for my life. Darling, you're a friend of mine. When my life is over, remember when we were together. We were alone, and I was singing this song for you. We were alone, I was singing this song for you. We were alone, I was singing this song. Singing this song for you.
Thank you, guys. Love you.
Have a great, great weekend. Take care. Good night. And be kind to each other. See you. Bye.